So what does the image in your mirror look like? I've got a lot of questions today, and I always laugh at when I see the students checking themselves out in the mirror. It's really kind of funny. My first question to them is if whether that mirror looks good or not. Hey, is that a good-looking mirror? And they look at me funny, but my first response is actually to draw attention to what they see. You know, we do our best sometimes to attempt to look better than we actually are. Can they see what God has done in our lives, in our families' lives, in our communities? If we invite them to come and see God in our daily lives while spending time with us, do they? What do they see? Can they come and see what God has miraculously done? Could they come and see what He is fruitfully doing? Or would they be able to come and see the eternal journey He has for the ones He has created and will do for them? Today we will learn and talk about the expectations for being the best biblical representative, witness, ambassador, or mirror image. How about a reflection we possibly could be? What is it that you could share about what you believe? I can honestly say that
I believe that no matter how my faith might be shaken, I am held strong by the love that has come to rescue me. Guys, Jesus is undefeated and covers me by the weight of His grace. Amen? So there's others here today that know this? Okay, I'm just checking. I super hope so. The band Consumed by Fire has this beautiful song called Walk with Jesus. And there's an inspirational line from that song that says this. It says, there's a better path with Jesus. I'm going to live the way He says to live. Now, are you ready? Are you ready to be bold and declare to everyone exactly who you are in the Lord? If so, here's how. We engage, we equip, and we empower. So in James 1, 22 through 25, it says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. If it does not what it says, it looks like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Great words, right? So, how many of you have looked into the mirror and have said these words? I sure wish I looked like I did in the past. Anybody ever did that? I can't see it that way. I'm sorry. I don't feel like I would say that because I really don't want to look like the old me. I don't want to live like the former me in the past where I made such crucial mistakes. Maybe some of us had arrogance because of our looks. Or maybe some of us had pride because of our abilities. Or maybe some of us had terrible struggles and pitfalls because of our self-control. Now, that definitely touches a nerve with me. Because I want to look into that mirror that others see and see a resemblance to my Savior. I want to be known without any doubts that I have matured and grown in the glory of God's guidance. So what are you seen as in the community? What have you been known for or remembered for? I've talked about my dad before because he was well recognized and respected in Princeton. He was legendary for his work ethic, and he was commended for his year-round coaching and well-rounded skill in sports, and family meant everything. But I could say, most importantly, he was known for his faith. Do you want to know one of the most shared stories that people gifted me with as a child? It was about my father raising an owl. Yes, a wild yet tame, a wild yet domesticated barn owl, a raptor. They said that the way my father treated, cared for, and presented the animal to others, it did not seem to be a threat. The danger or risk, you'd say, disappeared because my dad showed the bird off in a manner in which people were drawn in to see. You see, I think people are scared to interact with Christians because they do not know anything about them. It reminds me of Casting Crowns' song, Crazy People. It's describing us, right? Anyhow, they might also be frightened to get involved in a relationship with God because they are not quite for sure what might come out of it. Maybe we could figure out somehow to make that experience of attending church activities more approachable and welcoming. We are reminded that this is our day, right? And that's great. I love that. And that's awesome. But let us not only rejoice and be pleased in the Lord, but let us also, as a team, get out there and share Him in every aspect of our walk. Some coach showed that player how to dribble. Some trainer showed that worker how to sling a hammer. Some teacher showed that student how to add those numbers up just right. What has God taught and instilled in you to be able to tell others? When my father passed away, his best buddies placed the dogwood, that was his favorite tree, about 40 yards off to the right on the first tee at the Caldwell County Country Club. One of his friends, Raymond Janina, had a brother out there that was the president. So this crew got away with pretty much anything. But anyhow, I really hope that this tree is an amazing perch for all of the owls out there on the course. But even more, I desperately hope that our tree, our church here at Majestic, keeps growing and growing and becomes that amazing place to call home for anyone drawn in and seeking. So, I was talking about three things that could help us, right? So number one, let's look. Our first step is to engage. So, 1 Thessalonians 2, 7-12, this passage reads, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toils and hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Now, look at verses 8 and look at verses 10. See what this says. It says, cared for us, loved on you, shared the gospel so our lives could be great. And then we preach the gospel so our witness can be great. And so, this is a great quote about why we engage. It says, life isn't about finding yourself. It's about discovering who God is preparing and creating you to be. Remember that we engage through genuine relationships by sharing our lives and allowing the gospel truth to shine. So, how can we initiate this? How do we recognize the reachable? What can we do to reveal and reflect God's presence in our daily routine? Well, here's how. Number one, engage God first. So Proverbs 3:6 says this, and I want you guys to all read it with me, okay? Proverbs 3:6, it says, "In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." So what is it saying here? It's talking about all His ways, all His paths, all His journey, all His plans, it's all our walk. So I also appreciate Psalms 41-3. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." Amen? That's what we search for. That's what we look for. So no matter how many times you attempt to present the gospel, do the proper biblical choice and never, ever stop. Have you guys ever been on a diving board? Kind of switching gears here, aren't I? I'm not, I promise. Have you? You have, right? That was one of my favorite parts about going to the pool. But correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't it seem as if everyone around the area had their eyes on you when it was your turn to attempt to jump off? It did, right? For me, I always love doing the jackknife. You guys know what that is, right? You spring as high as you can. You split your body in half. You straighten out and dive in smoothly, right? I got to tell you, it didn't matter if it was a 1, 2, or 3 meter board. that was the jackknife was my signature dive to go for. And in my mind, I undoubtedly felt like an Olympic swimmer competing for the gold. You guys remember those times, right? But truthfully, I don't think that anyone was really paying any form of attention to me. I could only imagine, were the crowds watching my dive with anticipation? Probably not. Were they interested in my every integral move off of the board? Nah, I sincerely doubt it. Now, did they pay attention when I managed a perfectly designed belly flop? Oh, yeah. They saw it. They might have heard it. And in the same spirit, they definitely cringed and they felt it. You see, people are going to notice our mistakes a little quicker than they see our accomplishments. So that is why we should always put God first. Because whatever our circumstance, either to the believer or to the heathen, it doesn't matter. They will witness and be privy to the knowledge of walking through this world's trials alongside God and in His grip. Isn't that where you want to be? So, number two, engage the heart. So Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Wow, that sounds like a pretty good gift to me. I'd love that, wouldn't you? Another great quote I know is, "I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is." God is so super good, amen? Don't ever hesitate to declare or display with your whole heart who you have been made for to serve. Freedom is that ability to do what God has called and created us to do. So keep sharing how good our Creator is. And be confident that when you do join God's team, that you are willing to give with every ounce of your heart and soul and be forever in the fold. Right? Number three, engage the gospel. So Romans 1:16 graciously states, I tell you what, read this with me. Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Wow. That looks like the gospel equals power equals salvation. Can't we share that with people? Don't you want to share that with people? It's not always just about what God provides you with. It's about how you share that gift that gets noticed. It's about how you handle that gift that provides others with the truth about God. So, a radio personality on K-Love from Faith Mortgage once stated, "The bad news is that time flies, but the good news is that you're the pilot." You guys have heard that before, right? Well, now that's okay. It's good and all, but if you don't mind, I'd like to change the wording just a smidge. If you are a believer, a little Christ, a follower of God, then you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the good news to share is that you have a great and mighty pilot, unlike any other. We just simply dread anyone else taking the controls, right? Well, listen, I have some advice. You ready? Here's my advice. Try to feed your faith more and let your fear starve to death. You like that? That's one of my absolute favorite quotes of all time, so please let me repeat it. Try to feed your faith more and let your fear starve to death. So right. And you know, to add on, I want to give you a little extra here. It says, what does every military survival guidance manual say about staying alive in a hostile environment? Do you guys know? There is only one answer to fear. It's what? Come on, tell me. What is it? There's only one answer to fear. It's what? Knowledge. And so I want us to really, truly get into His Word, get into His instruction library, and find out what He wants us to do. So number four, engage to multiply. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 mentions all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You guys are following along with these verses, right? All. We have every. You guys are catching up. Max Lucado quoted, "God never said that the journey would be easy. But he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Amen? In my youth, I repeatedly found it difficult to display the characteristics of Christ around my friends who did not obtain or hold fast to the morals that were instilled into me. It was a real battle trying to balance good and bad choices. Well, per usual, bad often won, right? And that put me in a real pickle with who I looked at in the mirror. My problem wasn't my personal knowledge of faith. That wasn't it. It was my disbelief that I could be faithful. I often think about the time in my life that I chose to walk away from my faith and push my undeserved grace aside. This created a huge cavern-sized deficit in my life. But hallelujah, God prevailed. It was all because of Him. And it did not take a fancy, well-versed preacher or a spirited mentor or even a pack of, you know, supportive and aggressive praying partners, friends and family. Now, I admit, those things were all extremely helpful in my return to the path that God had planned for me. But no, it was God alone in His wisdom. It was God alone in His timing. All it took for me to get kicked back into gear was this curious 9-year-old buddy of mine. A young pal at Camp Arabro asking and wondering about this Jesus fellow that everyone kept talking about and this glorious change that only God Himself can plan and provide. That's when I was blessed with the opportunity to introduce him to his Savior and utter the most infamous words of any believer. You guys know him? Let me tell you about it. And I instantly knew that this was the good news that I truly desired to share. So, our second step is to equip. Now, this is a little harder. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21 says this. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equipping you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Yes. He will provide it all, everything we could possibly ever need. If we obey and come to Him for it, we will prosper. We equip ourselves to seek our Father. We equip ourselves to find our Father. And we equip ourselves to grow in Christ through God's instruction library. Wouldn't you agree? That's where we get it. So how else would we reveal to others how to get to and stay connected to our God? So, here's how. Number one, equip with prayer. Now, this is the easy one. We have so many incredible examples, but this is what we chose. Psalms 145, 17 through 18 says this. Follow along. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call on Him and to all who call on Him in truth. Now, I see a whole bunch of alls here. Now look, this is pointing out that He is our all. And that's what we share with others. So Colossians 4, 2 through 4 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Guys, it's what we're called to do. To pray for others, to pray with others, and to learn. Now, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, it absolutely mirrors this passage. So I want us to read that too. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that when I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Are we doing that? Are we fearlessly praying? Are we hiding our prayers? That is so awesome and extremely significant to us to know what to do. God is calling you. He is equipping you, and He's preparing you according to His purposes. So tell me, how do we get ready? There, it's the first equip step. How do we get ready? Praying, that's right. I keep pushing this electric seat shop button up here, but it's not. I don't know if it's working or not. Is it working, Todd? No? Okay. I'm just kidding. Number two, equip with Scripture. This is very important. Psalms 35, 4 through 5 says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Look at this verse. It's talking about His ways, His path, His truth. But it all accumulates to be our all. Think about these gifts. You see that this passage talks about our path drawn by God. What to do with it and how we are to get to heaven, right? And it also mentions remaining devoted in all, not partial, not Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but all of our being, all of our soul, all of the time. Whenever God calls us to a task, be completely confident that He will equip us and enable us to complete that task. Do you trust that today? Yes? Do you trust His Word? Do you trust His truth? Do you trust His promises? All right. You know, I know I talk a lot about music, so I got a question. What does Phil Wickham and Mariah Peters both sing about and inspire us with? What do they both say? To choose Jesus' way. So that's what I want to do today. I want to do everything I can to choose Jesus' way. So number three, equip in community. That's what we're doing right now, guys. Ephesians 4, 12 through 13 reads, "To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we are all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the fullness of Christ." I'm sorry, I tend to think that today's lesson could have easily been entitled "All," because that's what He wants for us. Our God requests that we equip ourselves for life, right? But it's not solely for our own benefit. It is for the benefit of the whole community. We should always remind others that our faith is not a religion. It is a real, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes I think our manners factor in the way we act, right? I think, I don't want to be the one to offend others by mentioning my church activities. Now, would you hold back and do that with your favorite sports teams? Of course not. Tried and true, you bleed whatever color that team represents. Be honored, be grateful, and be proud of who you stand for. Vigorously fight for what you believe. Now, guys, my heart is genuinely troubled whenever I consider the answer to this question. And I'm curious, how many people might be spending eternity in hell because we kept quiet and we were worried about what others think about our beliefs? That's unbelief. That's doubt. And that doubt we talked about earlier kept us from sharing. It kept us from witnessing. It kept us from loving. It kept us from serving. And our friends and family were lost forever. I say, no more of that mentality. No more of that attitude. No more. Our community obligation is to make sure Everybody say it with me. Every single person we know has a chance to be family. Amen? I'm sorry. Sometimes we need to get rowdy for others. We can calm down. Number four. Equip with a clear plan. Now, we have a handful here, so hang with me. Psalms 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." Now, don't forget something very important about this. That's His way, not our way. Our way will always fail. This is His way for your life. And Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." That is such good advice. And remember this. Lastly, Proverbs 19:21. "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Is this new news to you? Or do you know this in the bottom of your heart? You see how important this is because God's gifts are free. What keeps us from sharing them? What hinders us from saying, "Hey, I want to tell you about my God"? I love this Hillsong Young and Free song, Alive. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it or not, but they say in this song, forever free in unending grace. Those five words are so powerful because what does it say? Forever is kind of an all, I think, right? Free is an all, in all, unending is an all. And I'm sorry, but grace sounds a whole lot like another all. Every word describes that pinnacle that we're looking for, to take His all. I love this quote. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. Some of His greatest work is done through broken people. Right? God can use you. I want us to remember that and how important it is. Because today and forevermore, I want you to please model and trust with every ounce of your being that He will equip you for the great things He has in store for you. He's not going to let you down. Never doubt who you are in Him or who He has created you to be, who He has molded you to be. I have always loved to sign my notes in Him, to even remind myself why I am forever forgiven and free. So, our third step is to empower. Now, this is the fun stuff. This is where we get to go out of these walls and go tell people all about Jesus. Let me tell you, empower. It says 2 Timothy 2:1-2 relates to us. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people. You know who I'm pointing at? You see who I'm pointing at? Come on. Who will also be qualified to teach others. Guys, that's us. That's supposed to be us. That is saying that God wants to empower and strengthen you to overcome every obstacle in your life. And the Word of God will empower you. Then, we empower others to know and grow in Christ Jesus' examples. You see how that kind of flows? It reminds me of Andrew Rip's new song, Love Got Away. It inspires us to let go, surrender, and believe that He will be triumphant. Amen? So how do we do this? Number one, empower by modeling. So 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, well, I'll tell you what, read it with me. Can you see it up there? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Here we go. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Could we have a better example? Not at all. I tell the youth, I don't want you to follow me. I don't want you to follow them. I just want you to follow Christ. And those words are so super stinking powerful. And we can go on. Philippians 3:17 says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Now, guys, that's fellowship. That's what we're doing right now. So keep in mind why God has given us these verses today. So before I started the college part of my life, I had the opportunity to join in on the creation of some local commercials in Paducah, Kentucky. And out of all the spots, shows, music, and commercials that I was involved in, only one made me celebrated in the community. It was a house doctor commercial where I told my neighbor that there was no way I would ever go underneath his crawl space to check out the problem that he had under the house. So for years after this commercial aired, I was known and recognized by these five notable words that I spoke. You ready? I'm not crawling underneath there. Good, right? Yep. People would see me, they'd point, and they would say those exact words. I'm not crawling underneath there. And yes, the accent was included. That was me. That was what everyone who recognized me mentioned. It was hilarious, yeah, but not necessarily what I wanted to solely be known for. It forced me to examine my heart and my life and what I considered important enough to portray when people saw me. Now, understand, calling yourself a believer more than implies that you are willing to step through this world by faith. Yes, but once you begin to work by faith, your actions will be the proof to others what you believe. And don't you want that to shine? So, number two, empower by assisting. Colossians 1:10-11 declares this, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Anybody wake up this morning with patience and endurance? Yeah, well, okay. We had one mom back there. Okay. This shows me that God wants to support us in every bit of and all aspects of the life He provides us with. Now, everyone here probably remembers playing a game and losing by a small margin because of team errors, right? Somebody else's fault. How did it feel to lose that game, knowing that you could have won? How was your attitude? How was your sportsmanship skills? Did they kick in? Maybe you were or were not blessed as I was to have the encouraging coaches that I did in my youth. These gentlemen were the ones who taught me how important it was to not just build your own teammates up, but definitely not tear the other players down. This taught me to be the voice to those who have not the experience or the knowledge of what it means to truly be victorious. And in my future ministries, these examples helped me realize how easily I could speak to people and become their influence about the gospel truth of God. Sometimes we ask God to help us move these mighty mountains, right? Have you ever noticed that God shows us how to believe by giving us a shovel? Don't let that sink in for a moment. Because for some, that new belief, that exhilarating new belief is a switch that helps turn our faith on. Have you ever watched that faith turn on in someone? In someone, it was amazing, right? So number three, empower by watching. 1 Peter 5:10 says this. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory through Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You know, people around us are often paying attention to how we react to what this world has often thrown it out in our direction. We need to remember something very important about our walk and the picture they see. It's our similarities. Jesus didn't come and die for you because you sinned by accident. You know that. What did He say? While you were yet sinning, while you were still yet a sinner? You can actually picture, right? You can actually picture Jesus firsthand observing this world thinking, you know, I'm willing to die for that one right there. Even me, you know? I so love that one right there. Even me. This is exactly what we need to show others in our walk. A perfect, pristine picture of selflessness. What are people seeing? How hard are we trying to look like and mirror Jesus? So declare today, unmistakably, who you are in the Lord and Savior, Jesus. If you haven't done that yet, we'll show you how. But do it right now. There was this man that wanted to cross the Niagara Falls by tightrope. And he advertised, he got plenty of spectators there and started setting up. He cranked his ropes across the waters and, you know, began his adventure. He asked the crowd if they believed if he could make it across. And they cheered, "Yes!" Now, I know probably not all of them were there. Some of them might have been there to see him fail, who knows. But nonetheless, he persisted to get the crowd riled up and asked again if they thought that he could make it there and back. And the crowd yelled, "Yes!" So he left one side for the other and back again, accomplishing his performance. He asked the crowd if they thought that he could make it across the way with someone on his shoulders. And they confidently yelled, "Yes!" So the man proceeded to make a very profound request. He asked, "May I please have a volunteer?" Oh my goodness. Wow, the crowd got really quiet really quick, wouldn't you? So why are we so willing for others to be the missionary? Domestic or afar, we always expect someone else to do that work. Why? It's our job and our privilege as believers to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has done in us. I don't know. You never know. Your shift might have already started. So I wasn't planning to share the rest of this with the first service, but I did, so I'm going to share it with you. Anybody know the rest of that story about the tightrope walker? He did get a volunteer. there's a little boy. And the little boy cheerfully said, I'll do it. And he went up and he got on his shoulders and they made their way across and came back. But there was something the crowd didn't know until later. That was his son. Now his son had seen him do that a billion times. So what did he do? He trusted his father. How great of a lesson is that to us, to trust our God? I use that part of the story for this, but just wanted you to think about that as well. Number four, empower by launching. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 says, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Wow. I love that He did that for us. And a way to show Him that is to learn a little more about the Bible. Look. Do a little more for your neighbors. Be courageous. Stand up for our good and generous Father. Those that know and love God, they'll overcome. You know that. You've experienced that. Our lack of trust will surely show in our delayed lack of action to resemble Him. So James 1, 6 through 7 says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything. So, this is the to-go portion of the meal. You ready? This is what you can take into the world and share with the ones that are on your path, or give to the ones who God reveals. If you are worried about not being enough, don't. Remember, God will make a way where there doesn't seem to be one. Be careful. Sin can easily cause unbelief. Doubt is that unbelief and the lack of faith. Obedience is that perfect answer to the call of faith. Let your faith break apart every chain, every wall, every lock that doubt causes. Doubt just forces you to live without, right? Doubt just forces you to live without your blessings, without your future. So, let obedience help us be rooted in and achieve the goals assigned by God. We can boldly rely on this divine faith to help us remain close to Him and be restored by Him daily. Amen? I know I share a lot of stories about my family, so I have a good memory to share that I shared as an invitation devotion at the youth Christmas celebration. I grew up around and have always been in love with water. I was always in or close to water somehow. We would swim in the lakes, in pools, in the ocean. We would kayak the rivers, and we might even possibly accidentally fall into the pond when we fished. It wasn't an accident. Whatever happened, I have always been comfortable and happy in water. We have friends and family down in Florida on all three sides of the peninsula, and one of my favorite lifestyle activities that I've ever experienced is to go snorkeling. Has anybody ever been? Tell me. Okay, so you know this. It is so exhilarating and so fun, and we love doing this when we visited. We would cruise out about 200 yards off the coast, where it was about 14 to 15 foot deep, and we would dive down. We could go down to the sand and sit there and just look in any direction forever. It was so unbelievably beautiful and serene. I was in heaven. I would try to explain and describe to our friends and family how majestic it was to experience snorkeling. I would attempt to get them to join in on me for a journey to this hidden world. Several would decline because they just couldn't fathom such a beautiful, stunning place, no matter how vivid my descriptions might have been. Maybe they couldn't believe in themselves or their capabilities to handle such a journey. I don't know. No matter what the excuse, once they did join in, it was an awakening. I was so blessed with the task of introducing them to something so spectacular. They were able to experience the beauty that I alone had seen and they had not. How could I be a guide to them on how beautiful something was if I wasn't willing to show them? So, clearly think about this in a biblical way, all right? What if we were the ones to introduce people that are placed on our path to the God who has perfect grace, to introduce them to the gift of forgiveness, the miracle of mercy. Hey, thank God I'm redeemed. Amen? They might not have ever seen God's glory. They might not have ever known how amazing it would be to have Him present in their lives if it wasn't for our interaction with Him. What's stopping us from introducing them to such wonders? What's keeping us from letting others know all about our Jesus? The Jesus that we know as being the only grace-driven Savior. Is it you? Our only flawless example, right? Our only faultless healer. And our only one true key to our eternal glory in heaven. Guys, if you are willing to bring them, and they are willing to come, then we will both see such amazing blessings. Amen? Wow. Isn't this wonderful? God has revealed such extraordinary, remarkable discipleship principles to us today. Now, it's our turn to say yes, to go out and serve, and to joyfully celebrate. I only have one last question for you. What should the image in your mirror resemble? I'll give you a hint. Starts with a big J. Anybody got the answer? I'm just asking. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? Have you ever heard the expression spit and image? Oh, I'm just asking. We need to be that spitting image of Jesus. Today, that's our challenge now. What is your mission for 2025? And what are your plans to invite somebody along? Come on in, everyone. The water's fine. Wait, that kind of sounds like a good campaign for baptism, right? Sorry. I told you, I squirrel up just as good as a teenager. How well will you mirror a servant that is fruitful? How well will you mirror a servant that is grateful? A servant that is faithful? And a servant willing to join in? Just as important, who are you going to bring alongside you for the ride when you apply these spiritual gifts? Are you thinking about somebody? Good. What do you want to look like? You want to look like Jesus? Or you want to look like yourself? Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for this amazing day to come into your house. To come and celebrate together, to gather together, to fellowship, knowing that you are present. To really, truly see what you have in store for us. Father, we are so grateful for all you give. All the amazing blessings like grace, mercy, joy, love, everything that you provide us with and pour into us, we want to take into this world. So help us be bold and do that. Help us go out and say, yes, I am a Christian. I am a No, I'm not going to start that. Father, be with us in all that we do. Father, be with us as we go out and say, I love you, friend. Go out and be with us as we say, I need to tell you something. I have something to share. And it's the truth. It's the glorious word. Of God and gospel of God. Father, help us to do that. Because as we do that, as we mirror your Son, that means we get to represent you. And that is the greatest thing that we can do. We are yours. Do with us as you wish. Father, in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Guys, as you leave, you're going to listen to a song. It's called Love's Got Away. I mentioned it a little earlier. It's called Love's Got Away by Andrew Ripp. So I hope that gives you a little blessing as you go and a little encouragement as you go celebrate. You